Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time now 13 minutes to 2 on Radio Islam, midway 1548. Jazakumullah Salam. Jazakumullah for being with us and tuning into Radio Islam. And as promised, we have our guest in with us, and that is Mufti Afzal Ilyas. And he'll be taking on our calls this afternoon. If you have any questions pertaining to any aspect of Ramadan, any aspect of fasting, and not very sure, and you want a clarification, remember the number to dial this afternoon, 8546854, and we'll take on your questions. He has just managed to, you know, get into the last portion of our medical program this morning, and he answered some of those questions, but Dr. Bashir has left me with some of the questions that we need to do to clarify as well. So inshallah we will do that, and we will be running in right until 3:30. So remember that you call in right up to 3:30. Jazakumullah Salaam, Mr. Zat.
Wa alaikum salam.
And we're looking at questions, a number of questions that came in earlier in the program when you were not here, and I need a certain clarification on that. And the one that you did clarify is one on asthma and the one on pregnancy.
I think we should just repeat it, because this is the masail slot.
Yes, so maybe you should just the asthma one, and according to Dr. Yusuf Nanabai, he says studies have shown that at least 2 to 80% of the spray does get back into the stomach. And I think you've clarified the issue that anything that goes into the stomach makes or nullifies that fast. Is that correct?
When we did our research via the laboratories, we found that there are two types of asthmatic pumps. They classify it as one wet asthmatic pump and one dry, because of his functional use. And they replied to us that a certain amount of that spray turns into molecules, water molecules, or chemical molecules, and goes down the throat into the stomach. As a result, that asthmatic pumps, no matter what type it is, will invalidate, will break the fast. However, if a person is an asthmatic patient and resorts to the other alternative of going for an injection, intravenous injection, that will not break the fast. But the pump will break the fast, and a person out of necessity utilizing and using the asthmatic pump, as a result the fast will be invalidated, will have to make a qaza and not kafara, because this was terminating the fast involuntarily and without having control. Secondly, the nasal spray, which we spoke about during the doctor's slot, the nasal spray will break the fast. Also, while we are at this, the eardrops, utilization of eardrops whilst fasting will also break the fast. The fuqaha are saying that anything reaching the brain or the stomach via any means will break the fast. And they, the juro consultants, are saying that the eardrop, eventually some of it goes towards the brain. Also, concerning pregnancy.
Sorry, before you go into pregnancy, so we spoke about nose drops. What about the eye drops, Mr. Sir?
The eye drops will not break the fast. There is a masala law written in the books of jurisprudence that if a person utilizes surma whilst fasting, and to this extent it has been written that even if the surma is tasted on the tongue, applied on the eye, but tasted on the tongue, then also the fast is not invalidated, the fast does not break. So utilization of eye drops, using of eye drops, would not break the fast. As far as pregnancy is concerned, there are many reasons. In the light of Shariat, a person experiencing those, he is exempted from fasting. And one of those reasons is definitely pregnancy. So a person, a lady who is experiencing pregnancy, after consulting her doctor, and the doctor advises that the person should not fast, either it will be detrimental for the pregnant lady or for the fetus, for the child, unborn child, then the person should abstain from fasting, because this is a ruksa this is a concession given by the Shariat, one of the 10 concessions given by Shariat, because the life of the mother and the life of the child is held important in the light of Shariat, therefore she can be excused from not fasting. However, if the doctor and she feels that she can fast and she is able physically, mentally to fast, then she should fast. If she does not fast due to pregnancy, then only qaza is necessary, not kafara. Qaza meaning a fast missed. For one fast missed, a person will have to redeem it, recompensate it, make up for it by keeping another fast out of the month of Ramadan.
JazakAllah for that. Yes, we've had a number of questions that have come in over the week, and maybe we can start with those questions. But before we do, certain guidelines for the fasting person to give us an indication of whether it's certain aspects and certain things invalidates the fast, what nullifies the fast. Maybe some general guidelines, and then we can take on these particular questions.
Basically, a lady, so let us start from there, that a lady experiencing haiz or nifas or pregnancy. Haiz, a lady experiencing her monthly, her periods, then she cannot fast in that state. And Allah Ta'ala has made Islam very easy, that when a lady is experiencing monthly or periods during the month of Ramadan, then she will have to compensate for her fasting, not for her salat. Because during the day, a person, if he has to miss all salats of the day, will have to make 6 qaza. But a lady experiencing haiz will have to only repeat that fast, not the salat missed during that whole day. Similarly, a lady experiencing nifas. Nifas means that post-delivery blood or post-delivery discharge. So a lady gives birth, after that there is some blood flow coming. Here we have to remove a misconception. Some are under the impression that as soon as a lady gives birth, then for the next 40 days, irrespective of whether blood is flowing or not flowing, she is not pure, not pure. This is erroneous, this is wrong. Nifas ends as soon as the blood, the discharge ends. So that lady does not have to keep fast. She, even if she keeps fast, is not valid. Then we have got those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given concession to. If you're going on a journey and you feel it is strenuous, or sickness, or pregnancy, or if a lady is breastfeeding, or intensity of hunger and thirst, another reason is weakness and old age, or if a person feels that his life is at stake, and unconsciousness, if a person is unconscious, that means fast is not compulsory, obligatory upon that unconscious person or the person in coma. And jihad fi sabilillah is so important that a person can forego the fasting. And the last is insanity. The person is mentally disadvantaged and he is not sane, that fasting is not obligatory upon that person. As a rule, that a person must not allow anything, any food or any drink, to reach the stomach or the brain by any means. Therefore, the suppository, for example, the suppository which is inserted in the posterior will break the fast. The suppository will break the fast. And another thing, while we are at it, the injection would not break the fast. However, inhaling of smoke will break the fast. Therefore, in those areas where they have mosquito coils, and they, due to the heat, and they have to keep the mosquito coils away, mosquitoes away, utilizing the mosquito coils, then one has to remember, if he inhales that those smoke of the mosquito coil, then fasting breaks. Therefore, smoking eating, drinking. Now, as far as sexual intercourse is concerned, which breaks the fast, then the activities leading to sexual intercourse does not break the fast, because the actual reason for invalidating the fast is the act itself. So the sexual activity before the act does not break the fast, but definitely spoils the spirit of fasting. It spoils the fervor for gaining sawab, and plus the person will lose control and get himself into a position where he has to make qaza and kafara. And kafara is not very easy, because it means keeping 60 fasts one after the other without any break. So one should be very cautious and protect the fast, and it is very easy to do it, provided we understand what breaks the fast and stay away from what breaks the fast.
Jazakumullah, we've got a number of questions already that have come through, and I see some more giving in, been given to me, and some that Dr. Bashir has left before he, you know, left the studio this afternoon. The first one is in terms of with ladies again, spotting, and then also a few drops of blood, and I think the one that is coming in quite often is at the very last hour, just a couple of minutes before the end of the period of fast, the woman finds this, the changes in her, you know, in her body, and you find, so does that invalidate the fast? And in each of these instances, what should be done?
As far as the women folk are concerned, and the laws pertaining to haiz, that is periods or monthlies, that it is absolutely necessary for the woman folk to have a proper chart and a proper timetable and a proper record of the previous years or the previous months, and then be classified. This is a whole section on its own, that how the lady is classified, whether she is regular, irregular, or whether she is one who is in the initial stages, or whether she is one reaching menopause. So we will outline a few laws. One is that a lady must know for how many days her monthlies last, and she also, out of experience, will know that the monthly starts in the day or in the afternoon or in the evening. This, when proper records are kept, the woman folk exactly know that whether this discharge is haiz or whether this discharge is istihaza. Istihaza, blood discharge due to ailment or illness, is called istihaza. So when the lady starts to spot before, just before iftari, then she should determine, and out of experience and record, she knows that this blood that is coming is now going to eventually result in the flow itself, and is going to be the starting. The spotting is actually the starting of the haiz, so this will be classified as the haiz. If it is not her time, if it is not according to the schedule, and she knows her timings, and now she spots, then obviously this spotting year is far away from her haiz and will be classified istihaza. So the lady will be the mufti for herself, because she will know her timings, and she will know whether this is haiz or not haiz, or whether this is istihaza or not istihaza.
في صداق من معدني منطق من هو مبتسم مولاي
صاحي. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time 3 o'clock on Radio Islam, meeting wave 1548. Welcome back, and we do apologize. We've been trying to get hold of Sadiq Power, and they've informed us that there's been a lightning strike, and inshallah we hope that the lights have been fully restored and electricity to everyone's homes. We've been inundated with calls wanting to know what has happened with the power in the area, as well as what's happened to Radio Islam. But we do apologize. These are things that are not within our making and within our hand. But we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He always keeps us away from calamities, and Allah protects us at all times. With me in the studio is Sharif Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and we're taking on your calls and questions pertaining to the month of Ramadan. We have just two announcements before we go on to the program. We have a mayyat announcement, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Rajoon, the mayyat of Marhum Riyaz Abdul Bashir of Maputo. That is the mayyat of Marhum Riyaz Abdul Bashir of Maputo. And it says, nephew of Aziz by Walid from 99 Nirvana Drive, Extension 1 in Asia. And that mayyat announcement again, the mayyat of Riyaz Abdul Bashir of Maputo, nephew of Aziz by Walid from 99 Nirvana Drive, Extension 1 in Asia. Time still to be confirmed and proceeding to the Avalon Qabristan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and the Marumin forgiveness and Jannah to Firdaus. And we have an appeal for a missing person. The name of the person is Timbelele Mabenta of Lanesia Extension 13. She is 19 years old, was last seen wearing a pink jersey and light blue night dress. Anyone seeing this particular person, please do inform the nearest police station. That is the missing person, Timbelele Mabenta of Lanesia Extension 13. She's 19 years old, last seen wearing a pink jersey and a light blue night dress. If anyone can help, please contact the radio station. If not, contact the local police, and inshallah they will be able to reunite the missing person with her family. Before we had the breaking and interruption in our power supply, we're talking to Mufti Ilyas, and he was explaining some of the more difficult issues pertaining to women having to calculate the timing of the fast, as well as how to get to understand. And I think what he came up with is they have to have a timetable, know their own bodies, and in that way it will eliminate so many of the issues surrounding what is, when it is hairs, when it is istihaza, when, and so forth. The only question that I still had left for him is, and that was came in from one of the sisters, is at the time of iftar and just a few minutes, does that nullify the whole day's fast?
As far as that question is concerned,
that if the sister has got a proper record, which I was insisting upon, then automatically they will know that this few drops, this spotting, is related to haze. Therefore, if it is related to haze, automatically the fast is nullified and one qaza has to be kept. Now, this can only happen when a proper systematic record has been kept. When a record has been kept, then automatically a person will know that this spotting, this blood discharge, has got nothing to do with the haze, because it is not time for haze now. This is not time for periods now. It is not time for monthly. Therefore, this spotting is related to istihaza. It is a blood discharge relating to ailment or illness.
A question that also came in yesterday is, if a sister goes to a gynecologist and he examines her and uses some instruments and inserts this instrument, does the fast break?
As far as these types of examinations are concerned, prior to going for these types of examinations, one should determine whether it can be postponed. Initially, we should have this in mind, that can this type of examination, well, first of all, whether it is necessary, for such types of examination. Secondly, can it be postponed until after Ramadan? Thirdly, that the doctor has to inform the patient, and if he does not, then the patient has to inquire that will this examination be dry or wet. Dry meaning that there will be no insertion of any fluid or gel or ointment in the examination proceedings, and wet meaning obviously that there will be some insertion of gel or ointment in the examination proceeding. If it's going to be wet and there is going to be some sort, even if it be a little bit of ointment or gel going utilized in the proceeding, then it is going to nullify and break the fast, but a person will have to make qaza, not kafara.
The number to dial is 8546854. With me is Mufti Arsal Ilyas, and we're taking on your questions and queries pertaining to any aspect of the fasting month. And
this examination, Ismail Bhai, the engineers are talking because you referred to instrument, and whether it's going to be a physical examination also, where the gynecologist is going to utilize the hand. If he is going to have ointment, that will be classified wet. If it's dry, it's dry, then the fast does not break. If it's wet, the fast will break.
I think something similar to this also happens when a male goes in for an examination and a prostate and so forth, and they're wanting to do an examination, so the same principle applies. If it's a dry one, then the fast will not break. But if there's some jello that's used, is that the same principle?
Exactly the same principle, that if they are going to do an examination. Also here, we can just go a little bit one step forward also. If you are going to go to a perhaps an ENT specialist and examine the throat, and if he sprays something in the throat for a better vision, then that will break the fast. But if he just uses the instruments and the light and look inside the throat, that will not break the fast. This also, while we're at it, will refer to the going to a dentist or going to an orthodontist. Now, if you are going to a dentist, and the dentist is very clear and certain that there will be no fluid passing down the throat, which is very difficult, but if he is very certain in his work and in his proceedings and his procedure of extraction or filling or whatever it may be, and he is able to put the chair in a position where the patient does not swallow any water because he'll have the suction tubes out there, if he's certain no fluid is going down, then the fast is valid. But if that patient goes to a dentist who is fasting and finds that the doctor or the dentist told him or her that no fluid will go, but some fluid definitely went down, the fast is broken, one qaza has to be made. As far as the orthodontist is concerned, generally the orthodontist, they operate in such a manner without putting any fluid into the mouth. But here, if they are going to utilize any material, and whilst tying up the teeth of the patient, some of that material, some of that plastic, etc., goes down the throat, it's going to break the fast.
We've got another question that has been also passed to us, and there's two questions, rather. I'm a Muslim fasting, and I've been invited for a wedding in a church. Can I attend the ceremony?
First of all, the question, there are two questions there.
Yes, the first, I think the second part is, can a Muslim go to a church? The second part of the question, and the first one is, I'm a Muslim fasting, and I've been invited for a wedding in a church. Can I attend the ceremony? One is attending the church, and one is attending the ceremony.
Yes. And thirdly will be to attend the church while fasting, or fourthly to attend the ceremony while fasting. So there are four questions there. As a Muslim, that we should not be going to the church to attend any ceremony, because we should be not going to any place as a rule, as a principle, where there is going to be shirk taking place, and where there is going to be open preaching and propagation of shirk and ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a Muslim upholding Tawheed and believing firmly in Tawheed, we should not attend any functions where there is going to be propagation of only their side. Yeah, I'm not talking about interfaith discussions where Muslims are given the opportunity to present Tawheed. That's a different issue. Yeah, I'm talking about the ordinary Muslim going to the church. He should not go, whether it is for the ceremony or to the church, whether he is fasting or not fasting.
Jazakumullah for that. And the question that has come in over the last couple of days, the next one is bleeding piles. A person phoned in to say he has got bleeding piles. Does this in any way invalidate his fast?
As far as the bleeding piles are concerned, that any blood coming out of the system, a person is wounded whilst fasting and blood flows, this will not invalidate the fast. A person takes out mucus from the nose, this does not invalidate the fast. A person begins to cry while fasting, tears come out of the eyes does not break the fast. Similarly, urine and stool does not break, coming out of a urine and stool coming out does not break the fast. Similarly, the piles are bleeding and the blood coming out from the posterior would not break the fast. However, if the person utilizes a suppository whilst fasting, then that will obviously break the fast. Or if the person utilizes any ointment whilst fasting and he inserts the ointment in the posterior to relieve the bleeding pile situation, that will break the fast. However, that a person at sehri time, because he is or she has bleeding piles, inserted a suppository or inserted some ointment, then in the day, during the course of the day, if some part of that suppository or some part or portion of that ointment which was inserted during sehri time comes out, that does not invalidate the fast.
My family reading Tarawih, we have a family where one of the my family members, the Hafiz, who follows the Quran, and thereafter leads a Jama'ah with his family members, the females as well, not necessarily related. For example, there may be an auntie, there may be a sister-in-law, there may be a grandmother, all of them wanting to perform Salah behind him. What is the Shari position?
In the household, the women folk of that household may follow the Imam of Tarawih, provided that they are able to hear that Imam. And there is, if they are not mahrams, there will be two scenarios here. One is that the congregation that is coming there, the father, the brothers, or maybe the uncles, and then the ladies, if they are ghair mahrams, then they should have a partition between the ladies and the men. That is the best course of action, to have a partition between them so that they can follow the Imam of Tarawih. That's one. Secondly, that for ladies to leave their homes willfully, voluntarily, purposefully, and to go and attend the Tarawih Salat with Jamaat, whether it is in the masjid or in the homes, is definitely in this age makruh, definitely disliked and detested in this age, for the ladies to leave the sanctity of their homes and to go out for Tarawih Salat with Jamaat. Because if it was absolutely necessary, then the ulama should have ruled that they should have been allowed to come out for Faraz Salat. So, and Tarawih is Sunnate Muakkidah.
The next question pertains to inhaling of Vicks and menthol. Is a person allowed to inhale Vicks and menthol? And extended part of that question is, a person perhaps gets a severe headache and then rubs off menthol onto the temples and maybe at the bottom of the nose. What is the Shari ruling?
As far as any ointment of that nature of Vicks and menthol, if it is applied in the nostril, then it will invalidate the fast. If it is applied, I know there are some people, when they have cough, then they take a finger full of Vicks sauce or any other ointment and they swallow it. That will definitely break the fast. And if you put that into your mouth, obviously the Vicks will dissolve and go down the throat. It's going to break the fast. You rub it on the temple, the smell will reach the nose, that will not invalidate the fast. You rub it on the chest due to cough or fever or whatever reason, that is permissible, it will not invalidate the fast.
If one is on antidepressants, can one fast?
I presume you're talking of some medication tablets.
Yes, it must be some. It's just the question just reads, if one is on antidepressants, can one fast? Some medication must be something that can be taken in orally, so.
As far as medicine is concerned, whether it be antidepressant or any medication, and alhamdulillah, let alone the Muslim doctors, even the non-Muslim doctors know that Muslims are fasting and they will not tell you to take the medication while you are fasting. So the person who is on these tablets, it is permissible for them to fast, provided obviously they do not take that medication, those tablets, whilst they are in the state of fasting. So they can reschedule their medicinal intake. They can take the medicine iftari time, sehri time, or in between iftari and sehri, wherein it is permissible to eat and to drink medication, food, etc.
Some general guidelines now, and the numbers, before we ask for those general guidelines, the number to dial 854-6854. We're waiting to take on your calls. If you have any questions, any queries relating to any aspect of Ramadan, you could call in. The number is 854-6854. Maulana Ibrahim Ismail is engineering, and with him is Yusuf Asmalji. They're taking down any questions. So if you do not want to come on air and you need a clarification, remember to call in. And if you're sitting near a computer and you're wanting to get us that question, it's info@radioislam.org.za. When we're talking about fasting, you know, we've had a number earlier on this morning's program. We had lots of people who called in wanting to know about specific ailments. For example, we had a person who spoke about inflamed tonsillitis, someone spoke about migraine, ulcers, blood and kidney infections, cancer, overweight, heart disease. Now, what guidelines do you have in terms of medication for such patients?
As far as Islam is concerned, that the mere fact that Allah Ta'ala has made fasting obligatory upon us, then Muslim scholars have proven adequately that this fasting itself, inshallah, it will help every ailing person. It will aid every sick person. And it will bring the body at rest. And it will give the body some time to recover. Our bodies are working practically 11 months, strenuously, vigorously. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's our maker, He's our provider, He's our Rabb, He's our creator, He's our nourisher. And He has stipulated 1 month of fasting. So alhamdulillah, in this period, all ailments. And we should have firm faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when Allah decides a person is going to die, he'll die. Not when some physician or some person in the hospital writes you off that you are going to die. So whatever the ailment is, you take your medication properly and take the counsel, make a mashwara with your doctor, and inshallah you'll be able to fast by regulating your medication and taking it at the proper time. Yes, definitely Sharia does not want you to leave all your medication and discard all your medication and then decide to fast. And then you are jeopardizing your health, for which you are going to be accountable for. So as a Muslim, you have to take your medication, obviously not during fasting time, but just reschedule the taking of the medication, no matter how serious the ailment or sickness is.
The question that always being asked is concerning vomiting. What amount of vomit nullifies a fast?
As far as vomiting is concerned, that understand, there are two types of vomiting. One is the voluntary and one is involuntary. One is that a person physically puts the fingers in the mouth and causes the vomit to come out. And one is involuntary, due to ailment, due to sickness, due to whatever sickness, fever or whatever it is, the person uncontrollably vomits. So now the person who uncontrollably, involuntarily vomits, no matter what quantity it is, mouthful, not mouthful, then the fast is not invalidated, it does not break. But voluntary causing of vomit, if it is a mouthful, will invalidate the fast. So if a person, unfortunately, he makes himself to vomit, and that is a mouthful, it will invalidate the fast.
JazakAllah for that one. And a little bit about fidya. I think we need to just explain the fidya and the amount to be payable.
First of all, understand what is fidya. When we understand what is fidya, a person who has become extremely weak due to old age or disease and has no hope of recovery, and as a result cannot fast, male or female, has been allowed by the Sharia not to fast but give fidya. Now the quantity of fidya, the fidya for the fast is similar to that of the farz and wajib salah. Fidya for every fasting day is 1 sa' of wheat or 3 pounds or 1.6 kilogram of wheat or 7 pounds or 3.2 kilograms of barley. Or in our age, for this year 2002, 11 rands. So that's the equivalent in cash. A person who is what we call Sheikh Fani, old person, aged person, weak person, feeble person, person got such an ailment which does not allow him to fast, him or her, then for every missed fast, a person is liable to give fidya 11 rand. Now the fidya, a person will give and distribute, the recipients of fidya are the same as the recipients of zakah. Now this 11 rand here, we must understand, if a person has to give kafara for his missed salat, that will be 6 salat per day, the 5 farz and wajib, then the person has to give per day 66 rand away in charity to those people who are liable to receive zakat. Now a person, he feels and is advised not to fast, and he gives fidya, but he recovers, then he must still make qaza, and the fidya that he gave, he should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for that and gives him barakat in his life.
Another question has just come in. Can one take medication whilst the Fajr Azan is on?
In our country, South Africa, when the Fajr Azan goes, that means we are already in the state of fasting. And this applies to every other country too. Because Sehri ends, Subah Sadiq now starts, and Tahajjud ends, Isha ends, Witr ends, fasting starts, Fajr Azan, or Fajr can start, and Fajr Azan, when it is given, when Fajr is given, then the person eating or taking medication has already invalidated the fast.
Can one use lipais while fasting?
To use lipais while fasting is permissible, provided that the ointment, obviously this is an ointment, that ointment does not go into the mouth and down the throat. If the lipais or the Vaseline or whatever you apply on the lips remains on the lips and it is absorbed perhaps by the lips, then it is permissible. If a person tastes that lipais or tastes that whatever ointment is there, that would not break the fast.
The question also, what has happened is at the time of Fajr, sometimes the Azan is given 2 minutes before the time of Subah Sadiq sets in. Is that permissible?
That means the Azan is given wrongly. Mm-hmm. In this case here, in this question here, that Azan is completely wrong, because that Azan is not of Fajr. That means the in that case where you are talking about, the Fajr Azan is not valid and it has to be repeated. And in that case, that the questionnaire is basically saying that the fast has not started. And when the fast has not started, a person can take medication.
Let's just go back to that question. What happens if the Azan is sometimes given? Would that in any way impact on the Jamaat's Salah?
In the case that you have spoken about, the Azan is not valid, but inshallah the Fajr Salat has been performed on its time, so the Salat will be valid, but that Salat has been performed without the Fajr Azan.
What advice do we have for people wanting to call out the adhan? What should they be taking note of?
They should be taking note, and now there are calendars available, that of the exact time, of the exact time when Sehri ends. Because as soon as Sehri ends, for example, if you have to say that Sehri ends at 3:52, then 3:53 you can call the azan. And after the azan, you perform the sunnah of Fajr, or allow 5-10 minutes, and let the people come to make their Fajr salah.
And as a precautionary measure again, when people wanting to start their fast, when should they stop and stop eating? I know we say technically saying with the azan, but is there, you know, sometimes what happens is sometimes clocks are not synchronized and so forth, and you find that sometimes people then a minute or two goes by and you know the time has already gone in and the time of Fajr is setting. What precautionary advice do we have?
Yes, definitely this is an important question. Why? Because if we do not have our timings right, then we could spoil our fast. In fact, we will start by not even fasting. So the exact time, the precise time for ending of Sehri has to be noted. And it is advisable that if it is, for example, 3:55 that Sehri ends, then as a rule in that house, that they should stop eating 3:50. So you are giving a caution time of 5 minutes. And the person who are calling the azan, they must be very careful and know the time, so they can give the azan at 3:56.
We have Brother Abdulhai online. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Ji Abdulhai, you online, go ahead.
Okay, Malana, I would just like to know, if I were to leave the country on the 22nd of November.
Right.
And arrive in a country in North Africa on the 23rd of November.
Right, carry on.
And I'll stay there for 2 weeks and I'll depart on the 6th of December.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll arrive in another country on the 7th of December. I'll stay there for another 2 weeks. Is it necessary for me to fast while in the first country or not?
And what about the second country?
I think Ramzan will be over by then.
You see, if he leaves here to 26th, and by the time he gets to the second country, it's the 6th of December, that would most probably be Eid.
Yeah.
Wanting to know whether from the 22nd to the 6th of December, is it North Africa, is it, would he have to fast?
Now, as a rule, a person on journey is exempted from fasting. But I would like to ask one question, that wherever you are going in North Africa, is it difficult for you to fast there or is it easy?
I think it's winter and as such, so it won't be difficult, plus it's a Muslim country, so...
So, Alhamdulillah, if you have got the strength and you are going to that country, and you should fast in that country. However, if you do not fast and you are a musafir, then in the eyes of Sharia, you will not be held accountable. But as you say, it is winter there and Alhamdulillah, it is a Muslim country. Our advice is that you fast.
And what about Eid? Eid is in...
Wherever you are, in whichever country it is, when they are celebrating Eid, you celebrate Eid. Then you come back to your country, I presume South Africa, and looks like this year we are going to be fasting 30 days. So, whatever missed fast, you will use the benchmark of 30 and calculate from 30. So if you have to keep any qaza, you will use the figure 30. If there is going to be, it looks like there is definitely going to be 30 fast in this month of Ramadan in South Africa. So you will calculate from 30.
Okay, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah for your call up today. And if you still have any queries, remember to call back. We have Brother Amin online. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Amin. Is Amin still with us? Amin. Assalamu alaikum. Don't think we've got him on, Mali Ibrahim. Is he still with you on the other side? It seems we've lost him. Brother Amin, if you'd like to, you could call us on 8546854. We seem to have lost that particular call. We just have a couple of minutes still left in this particular program. If you have any questions, any queries regarding any question with Ramadan, remember Mufti Absul Ilyas is with us. And don't forget, next week he will be in when we have Dr. Hafiz Muhammad. With the first part of the program, that's just about 11:30. we'll do the medical issues as well as fasting issues, and next week we're going to be looking at zakat as well, issues pertaining to zakat. So with Mufti Ilyas with us in the studio, inshallah, any of those questions and you're not very sure, you could fax it to us during the course of the week. If not, you could come on air on Sunday and you could have your answer, your questions answered. We have brother Naeem online. Assalamu alaikum, Naeem.
Okay.
I think Naeem's on the cell. He's breaking up, Naeem.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Great, go ahead.
One of the previous questions that I just heard a few minutes ago was regarding the azan, the Fajr azan. The Fajr azan is before the time of Sari ends, and the azan is not valid, but the Jamaat is valid. The question I want, or rather the incident I want to actually raise is, I'm calling from Extension 5. I perform my Fajr in Oman Amajir at Talimul Islam, or Shanul Islam Masjid, this morning. I'm not sure what... Personally, I find this is a concern that I want to raise, you know, because this is not, I'm not sure what the ruling on this is, but they don't abide to times properly.
Now, this is a serious matter, what you are talking about, because the Fajr Azan is being given not on Fajr time. Fajr Azan is preempted, and Fajr Azan is given before Fajr time setting in.
Yes.
So the Fajr Azan, I just hope, what time did Fajr Salah take place?
Fajr Salah took place in a normal time at 5 past 4.
So that Fajr Salah was valid, as I explained, but that Fajr Azan not was valid.
It's not valid.
Yes. But because the Fajr Azan is not valid, and the Fajr Salat was performed on its time, then the Fajr Salat is valid, but the Azan
is not.
Yes.
In a situation like that, what was
you approach the trustees there?
No, I didn't. I wasn't sure whether the calendars are not printed correctly, whether the time of Sari ending or not, and now that you mentioned it, I actually realized that, okay, no, it's the Azan was wrong.
So now you get a good calendar, a reliable calendar. So
all the calendars, in fact, all the calendars they see. I'm just looking at today's day, it was at 3:44.
Oh, so what you do, you go and approach your senior members of your Jamaat there, the trustees, talk to them nicely, amicably, and tell them that the Fajr Azad is not being given at the right time, and they should rectify the situation.
Okay,
Jazakallah. That is what I was talking about, the synchronization, and sometimes the crocs are not synchronized. You need to have that synchronized so that, inshallah, when we do have the Azan being called out, it will be called out at the right time. We have a brother, an anonymous brother on line 2. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Go ahead with your question.
What I'd like to ask is, what is the status of my fast? I normally get a bit of reflux, which means the food comes up from my stomach right up to the beginning of my throat.
Right.
And then it slips down involuntary. I'm really not sure what to do.
Okay, Jazakumullah, is that the only question that you have?
No, and the other is, sometimes also I get the taste of salat, and this occurs very often. However, when I spit out, there's no trace of the blood and nothing, but just, you know, at the beginning of my throat, I often get a tinge of the blood, yeah.
Okay, just hang on while Mufti Sahib is just giving us the answers to those two questions. One is the reflux and one is the taste of blood.
Yeah. It occurs involuntary both.
In both instances, it's involuntary.
Yeah.
In both cases, the fast is still valid. In both these cases, the fast is still valid.
Okay.
And in your case, you should try to consult a doctor who will try to give you some medicine so that you do not get this reflux.
Okay.
And you should not worry about it. And do not think that your fast has been broken, and don't think your fast is broken and then go and eat.
Okay.
So you should know that your fast is valid, is correct, and this is just a medical condition, and does not invalidate your fast in whatsoever.
Okay, and there's one other question is, I'd like to know the difference between Fidya and Kafara. There's a lot of confusion regarding the Fidya is when you miss a fast, which you leave out unintentionally. All right. And
No. Fidya is not that.
What is Fidya?
I've just explained on the radio what is Fidya. Fidya is applicable to a person who has reached old age, is sick, weak, feeble, or has got such an ailment from which he cannot recover, and he has got such a disease that he cannot fast, he or she. Then in that case, that person is absolved from fasting, and in lieu of that one fast, has to pay in this year of 2002 11 rand.
Okay.
Kafara is something else.
Okay, now kafara
is when a person, male or female,
yeah,
intentionally, voluntarily, willfully, purposefully breaks a fast,
okay,
invalidates a fast, then as recompensation, to recompensate for that sin and for that error and for that transgression, a person has to fast 60 fasts, one after the other.
Okay. And if he can't do that, then he's supposed to feed 64 people.
Yes, then, there is another issue. If a person cannot do that,
okay,
then there are other laws applicable for that.
Would you discuss these on the radio maybe this week or at a later time maybe?
Inshallah.
Well, maybe not this week, but we can look at it next week. We do, you know, we've run out of time this afternoon already, and we've had a power failure, and we don't have very much time this afternoon. But inshallah, we'll try and definitely broach this subject next week.
Okay.
Jazakallah for your call.
The
next caller, I wear braces. I put on a tasteless wax on it so it doesn't hurt my mouth.
If this tasteless wax goes down the throat, it will break the fast. If this tasteless wax, the orthodontist generally gives you some wax, and they say that if it pains, that you apply that wax on those braces. If that wax, whether it is tasteless or tasting, it goes down the throat, it will invalidate, it will break the fast.
Next one, I take one antidepressant tablets, and I was advised by my doctor not to fast.
I do not know why the doctor is saying that you should not fast, because you are depressed only. You are not physically not fit to fast. So please review the situation and ask your doctor to call next week on the line when we have before Zohar Salat the doctors, and then we can look at and review the doctor's argument and his position why he is requesting you not to fast. From our point of view, that this taking of a tablet of for depression should not stop you from not fasting.
JazakAllah, we've just got another couple of minutes, another 5 minutes or so. So if there's any more questions coming through, remember to dial, call us on 854-6854. This number, dial 854-6854, text us on 854-702-4024, or you could email us at info@radioislam.org.za. With me is Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and taking our calls this afternoon in engineering, Maulana Ibrahim Ismail. And he's just come off a call. I think he's got another question for us. No, he says not a question. Musab, we were talking about a kafara before we've taken on those questions. Any other issues pertaining to kafara that we've been enlightening our listeners?
As far as the kafara is concerned, and the brother was talking about, first of all, we spoke about keeping 60 fast. Now, if a person cannot keep 60 fast, and he is truly incapacitated, and he does not have the physical ability to do so, then I will just stipulate what he has to do, because the kafara can be fulfilled by to free one slave, even if it be non-Muslim. Secondly, if one cannot do that, then to fast 2 months, and I told you the person is having very very difficulty in doing that. However, in that fasting, one must make sure that the fasting recompensation period should not clash with the days of Eid al-Adha or the Ayyam al-Tashriq. That means the 3 days after Eid al-Adha. If one does not have the strength to do that, then there are two scenarios. So we should listen to this very carefully. Feed 60 poor and hungry persons 2 meals. The condition is that the poor persons must be the same persons for both the meals, otherwise the kafara will not be fulfilled. So that's, understand that first. Feed 60 poor people and hungry people for two meals.
We'll take that on. We've got the brother Ahmed waiting on line 2. Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam. I just got one question to find out. The ladies, when women got when they get their periods and stuff like that, is it permissible for them to take a pulse to prevent it so that they can keep all their rosas?
One is the end result of taking the pill, to control and to terminate the or postpone the haze or the periods. And one is, from a medical point of view, the doctors are saying that taking this pill to postpone the haze, the monthlies, is detrimental to the health and the physique of the person. However, if a person takes that medication and the period has been postponed or cancelled and the person does not experience haze for that month, period for that month, then the fast will be valid.
Okay, Jazakallah.
JazakAllah for your call. And we've got another question that's been posed to me. A person is fasting but has an asthma attack, then uses the pump. Okay, is this fast valid? Also, what should be done?
The person got an asthma attack. I suggested that if he is able to take some intravenous injection to make him comfortable, then the intravenous injection would not invalidate the fast. However, in this case, the fasting person, the asthmatic person, has now got an attack and taken the pump already. This will invalidate the fast, but there will be one qaza liable for that person, not kafara. I was just explaining about feeding of 60 poor persons. And the second scenario is feed one person for 60 days, two meals a day. In the first case, it was feed 60 poor and hungry persons, two meals. And the second one is feed one person for 60 days, two meals a day. It is not permissible to give one person on one day the food of 60 days or its price. The condition is that the one whom you feed must be hungry. For non-hungry people, obviously, eat less than those who are hungry. Then we have got one more question. Can one use toothpaste whilst in the state of fasting? Repeatedly, every year we get this masala, and repeatedly we have to say that according to Fatwa Darul Uloom Deoband, it is permissible to use tooth powder, toothpaste. However, the rider is most important. The condition is most important. That if the tooth powder or the toothpaste goes down the throat, it will break the fast. So it is advisable not to use the toothpaste. One is permissible, and one is what you should do, what is advisable to do. So although it is permissible, and although there is some taste left in the mouth, but if any part, any portion of the toothpaste or the tooth powder goes down the throat, then the fast is invalidated, it is broken, and one will have to keep a qaza in recompensation for that action.
JazakAllah for that, and I think we've adequately covered most aspects that we had set out to do this afternoon. The one about the kafara, yes, I thought we'd do it next week, but I think most of it has been covered this week. What is important, I think, to note in the kafara is when you are feeding, it must be a person who is hungry, and it's got to be that same group of people that has been fed at one instance must be fed on the second occasion. So, but does it have to be on two different days, or must it be on one day?
On two different days.
So it doesn't have to be two. When we speak about two meals, can be, because I was just looking at when you're talking about poor persons being very hungry, if you're going to feed them at one day, and then maybe can you do it the next week, or can it be the next day, or is there no time period stipulated?
No time period. And obviously, if you're going to feed one person, the poor person, hungry person, one good meal for that day, then you would have probably been, for example, lunch, and you tell him to eat supper, he's not a hungry person anymore.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
He's not a hungry person.
Oh, but you're over two different periods of time, yeah. So it could be either 24 hours later or 38. But yeah. I think the question here, and the important thing is, is that one of them falls out. If they're 60 and 59 now comes in the next day, then that does not set you free. You'll have to look again and get another 60, I think, and then twice over.
Yes.
JazakAllah for those square answers. And I think, like I said, we set out on our target, inshallah. But don't forget, next week, Mufti Afzal Ilyas will be with us in the studio. He'll be in at about 11:30 when we have the medical team. And sitting with us right through until about 3:30 when we finish off questions pertaining to zakat. The following week, I said thereafter, we will do i'tikaf. And then the final week, we'll be looking at masail of Hajj. So remember, any questions, any queries, you're not very sure. Any dilemmas, yes, because I think sometimes it's dilemmas, not so more than questions and queries. You are put in a certain situation and you do not know what to do next. Remember to get us at 854-702-2023 during the week if we are able to answer. If not, we'll then definitely get Mufti to help us along with those particular questions. And when he does come in on Saturday, we will ask him those very same questions so that we can clarify those issues for you. Again, on behalf of Radio Islam Mufisaf, we say Jazakumullah for coming in. Month of Ramadan, you're always obliging, always willing to come in. I see you smiling and saying, yes, yes, I always do that. And I say, yes, we'll definitely learn. And it's good to have you with us. Mali Ibrahim also smiling and says, yes, we've come to the end of this afternoon's program. And there's one more question, and but I think we've answered this question. We did answer this question, but you can just answer it as a last minute. Well, Yusuf Asmaji has just come in and says, please answer this question. And I said, we'll try. Is can a sister-in-law perform Taraweeh behind her brother-in-law in the presence of their husbands? And I think Yusuf has adequately explained it, but you can just explain that again.
I was explaining about the mahram and the non-mahram story, that as soon as they are non-mahram ladies, then there should be some sort of partition separating the ladies from the men. And I've mentioned one basic point, that the women folk should not make it a part, a parcel of their life to willfully go out of their homes and leave their inner recesses of their homes and go out for Taraweeh, Salat, with Jamaat, because that is not faraz for them, not wajib for them, not even sunnat and mawqidah for them. So, but if they are able to go there without any inconvenience and the distance is not very great, and they don't make it a habit and don't regard it as part of Sharia and do not insist and persist on doing this, then they should have some sort of barrier between the mihrams and the higher mihrams, the males and the females.
Jazakumullah, we've come to the end of this afternoon's program, and we definitely again thank Mukhtisab once again for being with us on Radio Islam Midway 1548. And don't forget, coming up after this will be our pledge line, and the team will be in. And Mukhtisab says, yes, please contribute generously to the coffers of whatever they're going to be pledging for this afternoon. We need you to sit through with us on this particular program. It's always been exciting and challenging to have all the people pledging in. And we know the month of Ramadan has been a month of giving, and we know definitely you are not going to disappoint us. You have never disappointed us in the past, and inshallah this afternoon I know you will not disappoint us once again. Mali Ibrahim smiling and saying, yes, they've always given us so generously.